1. How Dreams Might End. Shortly before midnight, on March 12, 1928, carpenter Ace Hopewell piloted his motorcycle up the twisting San Francisquito Canyon Road north of Saugus, about 50 miles north of Los Angeles. Through the scrub on his left, he had a moment's view of the St. Francis Dam, a looming 700-foot-wide concrete monolith. Then he was into a curve, and all he had was the roadway in his headlamp. He came out of the curve into a straightaway where he ordinarily would have opened the throttle, but he felt a sudden shaking, perhaps something going wrong with his engine, and instead he slowed. He was living in a construction camp next to Los Angeles Water Bureau Power Plant No. 1, just a few minutes' ride ahead, and there was no hurry. It was a typically cool but clear mountain night in Southern California. Maybe it was a good time for a smoke. Hopewell eased the bike off the roadway at a turnout and let his engine idle. The motor seemed steady and the shaking had stopped, but he thought he heard some crashing sounds in the distance. The spot, several miles up a wilderness road from where Magic Mountain now sprawls alongside I-5, would ordinarily be quiet enough, even on an evening in the 21st century. On that night in 1928, when virtually nothing existed in those reaches of the Santa Clarita Valley, his engine would have been all he heard. Hopewell had scarcely gotten his cigarette going when a more menacing sound caught his attention. The rumble, low and rising up from the valley behind him, was a little like thunder. But that was a rare occurrence for these parts, and the crystalline sky concurred. More like a cascade of boulders down a mountainside, Hopewell thought. Landslides were common in the area. He took another glance in the direction of the new St. Francis Dam that he'd passed a mile or so back, ground out his cigarette, and revved his engine. 11:58 on a Monday night. Time to get on home, get some sleep, be ready for the next day's work. He had no idea how drastically his work was about to change. Engineers at Power Plant No. 1 realized that something was wrong when their instruments registered a sizable bump in the line, as one put it. At the Edison Electric Powerhouse in Lancaster, operators were similarly concerned when their own lights began to flicker wildly. Down at the St. Francis Reservoir, however, dam keeper Tony Harnischfeger's concerns had been building for several days. The dam had been completed 2 years before, in March 1926, and water diverted for storage there from the controversial Los Angeles Aqueduct, as impossible a building project as the Overseas Railway to Key West before it, had been piling up behind the walls ever since. Only 5 days before, on March 7th, legendary Los Angeles Water and Power Director William Mulholland had finally ordered the impoundment to cease. There were now 12.5 billion gallons of water held back by the 195-foot-high dam, a goodly portion of a year's supply for the city of Los Angeles, sufficient, as George Newhall, president of a San Fernando Valley farming company, put it, to cover 60 square miles of land with water 1 foot deep. One could also think of it as a section of a river 10 feet deep, 1 mile wide, and 6 miles long, Newhall said. However one envisioned it, there was quite a mass of water being stanched by the St. Francis Dam, and that was just fine by William Mulholland. The longtime, pulled up by his own bootstraps, director of the water department was often referred to as the father of the city, credited with making the modern metropolis possible when he built the politically divisive 233-mile-long Los Angeles Aqueduct between 1907 and 1913. The acquisition of the rights to the water that now flowed to the City of Angels from a distant river on the eastern flank of the Sierra Nevada Mountains began an engineering project that ranked with the building of the Panama Canal in scope and challenge. And the fact that Mulholland, who'd never so much as finished high school, let alone set foot in an engineering class, had designed and ramrodded the project to completion, on schedule and under budget, was considered nothing short of amazing. As if the unprecedented and sometimes deadly challenges of the work were not enough, The very process of acquiring the rights to the water and the rights of way for the passage of the aqueduct itself divided California's citizenry as nothing ever had before. The rape of the Owens Valley, as the water's acquisition was sometimes called by the project's critics, that phrase was first used as a chapter heading in a 1933 history entitled Los Angeles by Morrow Mayo, not only strained relations between Northern and Southern California interests, but was enough to draw trust-busting environmental champion President Theodore Roosevelt into the fray on the city's and the chief's behalf. But all that was, in Mulholland's mind, ancient history. Recently, he had been concerned with building a series of reservoirs, such as the St. Francis, where more than enough water could be stored for his city should the aqueduct's delivery be threatened by extreme drought or damage wrought by earthquake or acts of sabotage that had been directed at the project on many occasions.